When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Slippery Shart Podcast.
Oh, I'm one. Literally.
Welcome back to the Slippery Shart Podcast. I'm one half of the show. I'm the delicious Nicolicious, your shart master extraordinaire.
I guess that makes me the slippery one then.
Meets Slipmaster Flex, my compatriot.
Hi guys, I'm Rob. How's everyone doing?
Welcome back to the Brohio Podcast, the cream spot. The place you've been waiting for your entire life. We got some UFO alien stuff going on tonight.
Cool. The best.
That some people don't like it. Yeah. And what I have to say to them?
Eat my butt.
I got some big old puffy nipples on you. And if you're a woman, you probably got hairy toe knuckles. Disgusting.
Yep.
Yeah, I make
gross.
I make my mom shave my toes whenever I'm over there.
Just buff them down.
She knows what the fuck's going on.
So, yeah, she does.
We got some new Patreon subscribers. More specifically, we got about 5 of them.
Hell yeah.
First up, we have Matt Dicey. Matt Dicey, right in your spicy hole.
All right.
Oh, yeah, Matt.
Justin F. The F stands for fuck, I'm assuming.
It stands for finger myself.
Finger my butt.
I talk to the guys at work. I walk by them, and I make some old school references, and there's some younger guys. They're trying to adjust to my I call them penis wrinkles and just some other stuff.
Yeah,
just some stuff to let them know that I'm there for them and I love them and I care about them.
Some terms of endearment.
Yeah, this lady next, she tried to fool us. She wrote. And looks like fucking Mandarin. I don't know. Chinese.
It's anime.
Hong Kong. Hong Kong's not a language, is it?
No.
It's a city. That's why I said anime.
Japanese. Some type of Japanese writing.
Yeah.
And I put it in Google Translate, and it translates to Amanda Hong.
Hopefully that's her name.
Hopefully that's your name, Amanda Hong. If not, I can't read Cantonese. So, sorry, friend.
And then we got Sarah Zalewski.
And last but not least this week is Elijah Rosenloff, or Rosen LOL, however drunk you are tonight. If you guys would like to join us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/Brohio Podcast. $1 unlocks ad-free content.
That's the best type of content.
Yeah. If you are interested, August 21st in Louisville, Ohio at 6:30 p.m., we're going to be with Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Wait, Louisville, Kentucky, you mean?
What did I say?
Louisville, Ohio.
Okay.
I don't think that's a thing. It may be.
Yeah, man. I get what you're saying, and I don't appreciate how you're coming at me sideways about it.
Hey, I'm just letting everybody know so they don't show up to Louisville, Ohio.
Louisville, Ohio! It doesn't get much worse than that, dude.
I know.
August 21st, Louisville, Ohio, Kentucky. We're going to be there. Robert is going to be there. Hillbilly Horror Stories. Jerry, Tracy, they're ferrets. They're going to do the fucking donkey show thing. They're going to be there. But unfortunately, we drink and we know things. They had to step out. Tom got a new job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so bigger and better things for him. Hopefully. I don't know if it could get any bigger and better. He worked at a fucking brewery or something.
Distillery, yeah.
Yeah, god damn it.
Good for him, though.
You guys can come out. We got a few tickets left. I don't know what we're talking about yet. I was just thinking about that today. I said, we're getting really close.
It's right around the corner, man.
Yeah.
Got us something fun.
You said you did think of something fun?
No, I said we got to figure out something fun.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I said we got to have something fun. But we got to think
of you, Mr. Planner. Big plan ahead.
I was actually thinking about it like last week, and then I stopped thinking about it until just this moment.
It's okay. We had a lot of Battlefield of Love submissions this week. Good. So I think we're going to do a singular episode dedicated to the Battlefield of Love this week. It's kind of a midweek. And we're going to read all those questions. There's some really good ones. There's a guy, he's a cuck. There's a chick that trying to find her boyfriend. There's a...
some good shit.
Oh, man. There's some guy, I think he said it was jacking off with melted Kit Kat or something.
I live for these,
we
man.
We got to help these people, man.
Yeah, they need it.
We got to help these people. So stay tuned for that. But last week... I don't always remember what we talk about.
Yeah, I never do.
Fucking this one, they reminded me this week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I forgot we even said this.
I know where you're going.
And we started getting all these emails like, hey, you know what cartoon really fucking turned me on? Because I said that when I was little, there was a couple movies, you know, G-rated movies that kind of...
grinded your... or that got your gears moving?
Put
some lead in your pencil.
Yeah. And I think that we talked about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You said that there was one for you.
Fuck yeah, it was The Lion King, dog.
Oh, yeah. The Lion King. I thought about that all week, and I told people about it all week. Motherfucker. And mine was...
Can you feel the love?
Yeah.
Elton
John definitely felt the love.
She was riding that thing.
She was, for sure.
Yeah, she was.
And
oh, shit.
I think that, what was the other one for me? I had Hook that kind of gave me a chub.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I can't remember the other one now. It'll come to me later. So everyone started writing saying, this is the movie or the cartoon that chubbed me up when I was younger.
Yeah.
Or whatever. This first person, he said, my movie chubby was Howard the Duck when they were in bed. She had a lingerie thing on and kissed him and hopefully got that duck dick.
Hopefully somebody mentions this, too, because that made me think of it. Jessica Rabbit, too, man.
Oh, yeah. Flossie.
Yeah, she did it for me.
Flossie. Yeah. Good-looking babe.
Oh, yeah.
Cartoon. Not real. Therefore, it's not real lust.
It's true.
Just like what you have towards me, it's not real lust. I can't say the same about the way I feel about you, but...
So he said duck dicks. So are ducks the one that have the corkscrew dicks? What animal has the corkscrew dick? Ducks, or is that turtles?
Ducks have the bill-shaped dick.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
It looks like they're...
And I thought I was a animal dick aficionado.
Oh, yeah, it's court. Yeah, well, let's look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Duck penis.
Duck dick.
Duck penis. Oh. Is a duck even like a... Is there like a male version? Oh, my God.
No, it is a corkscrew.
Yeah,
I was right.
Yeah, it looks like a colon. Yeah, it looks like a butthole. Shaped like a...
It's like one of those things that you open up the top of your wine bottle with.
Yeah, okay. And this next person, they wrote... Oh, this is China. Fazerassaraffaraffaraff. I cannot pronounce your last name. There's a lot of P's, a lot of H's, a lot of F's, a lot of G's, a lot of H's. Put all those together, it makes no goddamn sense. So... China Faffa Raffa 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 Raff. She said, y'all remember when Jasmine had to wear that skanky red outfit for Jafar? That was the first time I ever questioned my sexuality.
And definitely not the last.
Jasmine was a babe, too.
She was, yeah.
Aladdin, fucking poor ass street rat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the equivalent nowadays of somebody shacking up with a woman that's got about 15 kids and no daddies just to use her up for her, her money, that tax return every once a year that she gets. That Aladdin was doing the same thing. He was mooching, man. That's not fair.
He was, man. I guess that's what you do.
Jasmine was a babe.
For sure.
Let's see here. I'm totally lost right now.
Third one down.
You got it.
Hey, guys. When I was a kid, the movie that always made me harder than a diamond was the scene from Hannibal when the dude gets eaten by the pigs. Still does. I got thrown out of my girlfriend's house because I ripped her on... I ripped her couch to shreds dry humping it when that scene came on. Sometimes you just gotta fuck a couch, man.
Oh, man.
Turn it into a love seat.
D definitely turned it into a love seat. Man, dry humping is the absolute worst.
It's fucking awful. It's so miserable.
Yeah. Man, it is not even enjoyable.
No, not at all.
And for all you 6th and 7th graders out there listening right now, a few years, you're going to have some relations. It's coming up. Just skip the dry humping. Just go straight to the breakup. Don't even worry about the shit in between.
I love how you went right to the breakup. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, don't indulge.
Save yourself therapy.
And the dry humping.
And the dry humping, yeah.
Jesus.
That just leads to rashes.
All right.
Well, carpet burn.
That's the worst, dude. Or the, like, I do that thing where I beat off so much, my wiener's just raw, and I just have to fight through the scabs every time I want to pleasure myself.
Start getting cracks in your dick skin.
Yeah, women are like, oh, babe, childbirth.
That's it before, man. It's just like chapped lips.
Yeah.
But it's chapped wiener.
It's just like your little brother running up behind you and giving you a largemouth bass.
Yep.
Man. I'm just kidding, ladies. I am mesmerized by your beauty, your magicians, sorcerers, sorceresses. Gotta take a drink.
Go ahead, man. Mm-hmm. Where are we at? Oh, there you got your turn. Never mind. right there. Nope. Yep.
When I was younger, I had Lara Croft Tomb Raider of VHS, and my first time seeing it at the beginning is a sense where she gets out of the... I'm sorry. That's probably the scene where she gets out of the bath, and you see side titty. Oh, and that was the first time I ever had a cub.
Chub.
I think they meant chub. And will forever be the movie if I ever watch. I will keep having one. Thank you for your time sent from my iPhone.
I'm trying to think. The first movie I ever did my thing to. You know, honestly, it may have been Titanic during the drawing scene.
Okay. Yeah.
I was painted like a French lady. Yeah. I think I probably wore that VHS out from stopping it right there.
My mom took me to the theaters to see that, and she slapped me in the face when that scene came on, trying to cover my eyes.
Guard your eyes?
Yeah.
Slap the taste out of your mouth.
She's the one that offered to take me.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't know that was there.
No, she'd already seen it.
Oh,
shit. She said, this movie is incredible. I got to take you to see it. And that's what she fucking did.
And then she slapped the shit out of you.
Punched me in the gullet. I'm going to file a police report. okay, here you go. Yeah, this is all one right here.
There you go.
Yep, yeah, right here.
Oh, here we go. Okay. I don't know who this is. Shigo from Kim Possible.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. She is the reason I now love goth girls. That is all. Thank you for your time. Okay, I know who that is, but I've never watched the show before, so I might be pronouncing that wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea. This next one. Hello, boys from Ohio. I've been a huge fan of yours since I found your Randy Weaver episode. They tear us up on Reddit for that one.
I said who?
Yeah. He was the cartoon dude that shot up the... Shot up the market.
Yeah. Gotcha, yeah.
Hearing you guys talk about Taylor Swift's Netflix special was and still is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Why is that?
I have no idea what we even talked about. I am writing in response to the question posed in the last episode. I was born in 1997 and will be 24 on the 20th of this month. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
The first movie I remember turning me on was Big Mama's House.
Oh, God.
The Martin Lawrence movie. My best friend and I were watching it on VHS in my bedroom one day when we were kids. My friend got up to go talk to his mom about something. As soon as he left the room, if I got to the part in the movie where the Nia Long is wearing nothing but lingerie and reaching for something in the kitchen, as soon as the scene was over, I looked out my doorway. I could see my friend was still talking to his mom, so I got up and hit the rewind button on the VCR. I repeated that at least 20 times and no one was the wiser. I think I was between 6 and 8 years old when this happened.
Sometimes you gotta have yourself a risky wank.
I appreciate how honest this is too. You can usually tell when stuff's like tongue-in-cheek, the Onion style shit.
Yeah.
This feels like a fucking legit story.
I know.
He even doubled back to hit the button on the VCR.
Yeah, good for him.
Not the DVD player.
Yeah, man.
He's grandma's house. She got a motherfucking VHS. Okay. I basically did the same thing with the 2007 Ghost Rider movie. Right after Ghost Rider defeats Blackheart or Legion, Ava Mendez. Good God almighty. Starts walking towards him. Something about seeing her like that really got me going, so I watched it over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Makes sense.
But of course, the closest I had to smut when I was a kid was an unbelievably shitty film called Epic Movie.
Epic Movie.
There's a scene in the movie where Mystique, played by Carmen Electra.
She was always my favorite. I loved Carmen Electra. Hell yeah.
She makes her tits and ass bigger right before she fucks one of the main
characters
in another part of the movie. A bunch of pirate wrenches dancing around showing off what they got. It was like those old Carl's Jr. and Hardee's commercials.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work, guys. Love, Jordan.
And that was during the time of all those shitty parody movies. That's what that was.
Scary Movie.
Yeah, yeah. They were fucking awful, but they were like good in like the trashy way.
Oh, yeah. You just gotta go for it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you just gotta, yeah.
I like how you called that smut.
I mean, yeah, but it kind of is.
Yeah, my dad did this thing. I think I was probably maybe 9 or 10 years old. And the big thing back then was you got a satellite box, and then you could buy some kind of, I don't remember, whether it was a satellite box that was rigged, or they put a card in it, I don't know, but you could buy one of these black market satellite boxes for $50.
Yeah.
And then it would unlock every single
nice.
Channel.
Mm-hmm.
All the pay-per-view channels, all the channels.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad would kept on buying these. They would burn one, they would zap it. You know, they said they'd zap it, so they'd make your shit not work. You have to go buy another one. So my dad would keep buying them over and over because we were always getting the wrestling pay-per-views and shit.
Right.
But then after they went to bed, they had the fucking big booty hose and shit on all the Raw Dog stuff.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't know what a condom was until I was much older, because they were Raw Dogging in those movies. And I'm so fortunate they got rid of that couch, because I
put a hurting on it.
I choked it. I held its wrist behind the small of its back. Mm-hmm. When I was I pinned its arm behind its back. Oh man. Oh God.
Man, I remember
Beulah is what I called her.
I remember one time whenever I was growing up, and I was it's probably 14, 15 maybe, and it would definitely have had to have been the Spice Channel.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you'd always watch it hoping you'd see like a flash of a titty while it was like in the scrambled picture or whatever. And there was this one time, man, that there was cable guys working on our road, and then for like 3 hours, like, oh, I was scrolling, wow, through, that channel was crystal fucking clear.
Oh wow.
Oh man.
Marathon.
I had chap dick that day for sure.
A good dad packs you like a bailout bag for a situation like that.
Yeah.
So you got like bananas and Gatorade and shit, lube in there just to keep.
You need to stay hydrated.
Yeah. For all you dads out there, you got, you know, 10, 11, 12 year olds, you got to give them that bailout bag with all that stuff in there.
I was like shooting chalk dust after a little while.
You fucking, you go to come and your
like a bone would come out. It just, he was just so angry at me. So mad.
You beat him off enough, he'll just cuss back at you.
Eventually he just looked up at me and was just like, hey motherfucker, quit.
Hey buddy, can I get a fucking break? Oh, god damn, been punching your balls for
give me a fucking cigarette, dog.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Okay, so this story takes us to none other than Manitoba, Canada, home the world greatest professional wrestler, Christopher Jericho.
Jericho!
He's from there. You know, he's from Manitoba.
Y2J, man.
Manitoba.
Oh, yeah.
This takes us up to Canada. Like I said, this strange trip. I was thinking about the different, you know, are we the only country that's like,
yes,
so indulged in UFOs that I
feel like there's no way.
Is there just not as many reported sightings other places? I know Brazil is kind of a hot spot.
Yeah.
But you don't hop on a German YouTube channel and they're like, oh, look at the UFO. Oh, you know, so.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I mean.
What makes America the UFO hotspot? Or I guess we should say North America, because Canada, they get some sightings. Mexico, true. They get a lot of sightings.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Maybe it's just the way the fucking tide, you know.
Good question. I feel like it's always found by a bunch of hillbillies. So maybe it's always it's because we have the most hillbillies.
What do you mean? Oh, a UFO?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hillbillies are pretty. They're just trying to get rich.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Cause I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know, man. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have the answer to. I wish I did.
Apparently, America is not the only ones, because this story comes from Canada. This
Canada.
The Falcon Lake UFO incident is the most documented UFO case in Canadian history.
Hell yeah.
It could also be, I would likely say, one of the top three most documented UFO cases ever.
Nice.
Yes.
And Falcon Lake just sounds like a fucking cool place.
It sounds like some place you go to see aliens.
It really does.
So this guy, he's doing his thing. Or this girl, we haven't got that far in the story yet, so I don't want to blow it for anybody.
Well, this person.
Yeah. He's just going up in the mountains here.
They are just. Yeah, stop ruining it. Foreshadow.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it.
It's always men. It's never women. It's never fucking women that see UFOs. You notice that?
Listen, girls.
It is never women.
You're doing something to keep them away. This has nothing to do with us.
Why is it always men?
And for all you puffy-nippled fucking dudes listening to the show, turn us off right now.
Maybe that's what they're attracted to.
But women, you got to tell us that thing you do. It keeps away the aliens.
Please.
Because I'm not trying to get fucked with. And that's the thing is, well, I guess, without being sexist, I would say a general ratio, I would say probably a hair more men spend time out in the wilderness.
Makes sense.
Mountains, mm-hmm. hunting. That's not to say it's not close, but I'd say it's a fraction more in favor towards the fucking dumbasses. So I guess that kind of maybe heightens the chance, but the ratio of sightings, it's 88% men. It's not...
maybe because we're just... fucking stupid and believe it. Yeah. We just believe it. Women are a lot more reasonable.
They're just so more rational in their nature.
Irrational? Yeah, yeah.
That they don't even, they just know, okay, that was just a cloud floating over and that made a shadow.
Yeah.
They're just better than us.
That's very true.
It's okay.
Very true.
And comparing it to Roswell, it blows the evidence from Roswell out of the water.
Nice.
So there's a lot here. There's a lot that was unpacked.
I'm excited. I love Roswell. So.
Yeah. And the protagonist from this story is Stefan Michalik.
Maybe?
He was Polish, I do believe.
Okay.
So they got really delicious sausages there.
That's like their claim to fame.
Yeah. In terms of food this week, I tried a new restaurant on my lunch break called Mission Barbecue. Apparently, they're very big all over the United States, just not here. But we have one by my work.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, dude, Mission Barbecue, that is the best shit I've ever had in my life in terms of barbecue.
Okay.
They put 6 different barbecue sauces on the table for you.
Nice.
You get a complimentary slice of cornbread. What the fuck?
I watched this...
the lemonade.
Me and my wife watched this barbecue cook-off show. It's just your typical reality cook-off show.
Netflix?
And it was just barbecue.
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
Yeah.
Everyone would face-off they had those big face-offs.
There was like this big jacked Caribbean dude.
Yeah.
Everything he made looked fucking delicious.
Oh, yeah, I know. And he's like, oh, I've never really done this
before. Yeah, he should have won. But anywho, ever since then, I've been obsessed with barbecue food. Like,
yeah, dude. Delicious stuff.
So I'm going to have to look into that.
So I'm going to give Mission Barbecue their props.
There you go.
Tell me if you guys have had it. Send us an email.
Hey, we might get an email from them. We listen to your
podcast.
Give
them our new AOL. It's brohiopodcast@aol.com.
If you know what I'm saying.
Don't send that. That was not real. That's not, don't. It's brohiopodcast.
You said AOL.com?
Yeah.
MSN.com. Yeah. Hotmail.
Haka. Lycos.
Lycos.
Stefan Michalik. God, man, that's a doozy right there, pal. We got to get into this. He was an industrial mechanic, but in his spare time, he liked to do some rock and mineral hunting. So he was a bit of a, he was an amateur geologist.
Say so that's a, yeah, seems a little, those rocks and minerals aren't going nowhere.
You know, the thing about geologists is they rock.
They're pretty down to earth.
Yeah, they're grounded for sure. Sorry, guys.
Kind of hard-headed.
Yeah, they're fucking all geologists that have STDs.
Okay,
it's proven. I didn't. I had nothing for it right there. So.
You threw out what you threw out. It's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Stefan Michalek. He was an industrial mechanic, but in his spare time, he was a rocking good amateur geologist. This time, the time of May. The time we're talking about. May of 1967, and this took place near Falcon Lake, located in the Whiteshell Provincial Park in southeastern Manitoba, Canada, east of Winnipeg.
Ah.
The middle of fucking nowhere, Rob. Looked it up on Google Maps. It popped up. Middle of goddamn nowhere.
Sounds like it. I feel like there's so much space in Canada. I feel like there's like
four
cities.
The fucking Earth.
There, it's like four cities and the rest is just woods.
It's a hemisphere. It's the it encompasses the entire world. Canada's huge.
It's like Russia.
Yeah. Don't they touch?
But they don't fight bears in Canada.
They touch way up there someplace.
Maybe.
I think, I just recently discovered, and no, I'm not LD. I just recently discovered that you can actually... Theoretically, you can drive a car from America, from the lower 48 to Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You got to go through Canada,
but
yeah.
I thought Alaska was a fucking island like Hawaii.
It's not Hawaii.
I thought both them bitches were just out there in the middle of the ocean.
It's like fucking Iceland. Just chilling in the fucking Pacific.
I didn't know this. Because I Googled, I was being funny. I'm like... drive a car to Hawaii, and there's like ferries and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it says take a ferry.
Million dollars.
Yeah.
So I'm like being funny again. I'm like, drive a car to Alaska. And then I look up and it's like 4 days, 13 minutes and 6 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look, you can drive all the way up, man.
It only takes 4 days to get there from here?
I want to say it's less than that. I think it's
no
three.
Fucking way, dude. Alaska's super far away.
I know. Let's say Dayton to Alaska drive.
You know how many people are like, how the fuck does he not know you could drive to Alaska?
Shut up. It's fucking
64 hours. That's not that long.
24, 48, dude, we can get there in less than three.
3 days, yeah.
Two days and 23 hours.
I need to take a lot of stops for pissing and shitting and eating, so it'll be 3-4 days.
I would imagine it gets pretty sketchy somewhere through there.
Man, you got to drive all the way through Canada there.
Not many speedways once you get outside Dayton.
No, not at all.
All right.
That's awesome.
God damn
3
it.
3 days, man. I figured it'd be like a week at least.
No, we can do it in 3 days.
It's tempting.
I read about it in the... there's some spots where you better get gas before you go in.
Oh, I bet.
Because you're not going to be... pretty,
I bet.
Pretty spotted.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we're going back to May of 1967. We're in Manitoba, Winnipeg. On this weekend trip, Michalek Stefan was prospecting for quartz and silver.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, he's going to make some fucking pirate jewelry. The prior year, he'd staked claim to some land, and I did not know this, but in the mining field, you can stake claim. So you can say, I'm digging that fucking spot over there. And
bums fighting over highway exits.
Yeah, first fighting over... places of shit.
Yeah.
So you can stake claim. So I think you kind of, you rent the spot for the next year, mm-hmm. and then nobody can really mine the area that you've staked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of what I said, whenever we were in Nashville, we saw two homeless people fighting over a corner.
Was it a good fight or was it?
It was a man and a woman. So I kind of like.
We're a man and woman.
He had the corner first and she got super pissed off that he was there.
Fight like crackheads on a corner.
I kind of felt bad.
If you've ever lost a relative to crack overdose, I'm really sorry, but crackheads are the best to watch fight.
They really are.
They're just the best to watch in general. We should try smoking some crack.
Fuck, dude. You got to get me some warning for that.
Oh, we should try it, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you smoke it. Yeah. You smoke with a bong, like... Crack pipe.
Crack pipe. Put your nose up my ass and then just smell.
This is how you smell crack.
This is how you inhale it.
Okay, so how did we get from staking claim to land to smoking crack?
Homeless people on a corner.
The date was May 20th, 1967. Stefan was near a vein of quartz along the Precambrian Shield. It sounds like there's some dead dinosaurs along that bitch. While he was mining for quartz, the 51-year-old Stefan was startled when a gaggle of geese...
Oh, no.
...started raising.
Dude, geese are evil.
Yeah, they're the worst fucking vilest awful creatures.
Yeah.
They're pretty when they're in flight. They serve me no purpose on the ground.
Yeah, I'd rather hang out with rats than geese.
Listen to this.
Geese are mean.
We'll start building stuff that suspends in the sky for the birds so they can have places to visit.
True.
Yeah, just, you know, all kinds of grassy islands up in the sky.
That'd be cool.
So we don't have to worry about the fucking geese anymore.
They're so mean.
Yeah.
Fucking bullies.
But I can't tell the story because we have to keep moving.
Sure, keep going, man.
While he was mining for quartz, 51-year-old Stefan was... startled by the geese.
Nothing, naturally.
Nothing could prepare Stefan for what he would see next. How was that?
That's really good.
Sound like a UFO?
Yeah. Yeah. I was almost convinced.
Yeah. Okay. He's not ready to see the UFO yet. Well, I guess he is. At that moment, Stefan looked into the sky and observed two cigar-shaped objects accompanied by a red glow.
Just two big dicks.
Yeah, big glowy dicks. And I always never got why they call it... There's always the stereotypical UFO sighting. They always say it was a cigar-shaped. And then I would always see that written and I would say... A fucking UFO is a saucer. Why?
I've never
seen a cigar-shaped UFO.
You just say penis-shaped if you're going to say that.
But you think about it. You're seeing...
Like long ways?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the horizontal. If you take a UFO and don't hold it, you know, you hold it lengthwise.
Okay.
Flat. That looks like it's cigar-shaped. You look at it from left to right. It's almost like it's, you know, floating up in the sky.
It's just way easier to say fucking saucer-shaped.
Yeah. I saw a flying saucer. Speaking of saucer.
Oh, yeah?
Chick-fil-A gave me Polynesian. It tasted rancid like it was bad.
I love Polynesian sauce.
And goddamn Christians at Chick-fil-A can go fuck themselves, man.
You know what? They can, but...
Good service.
They never get an order wrong. Never. They can have 43 people. We've talked about this plenty of times. They can have 43 people in line.
Work it out.
They're going to get you. They're going to get you right.
God, fuck you guys. Nothing could prepare Stefan for what he would see next. It was at that moment that Stefan looked into the sky and observed two cigar-shaped objects accompanied by a red glow.
Okay.
They are hovering in the air about 45 metres away, which I believe is like 45 meters, which I believe is...
Oh God. About 150 feet.
About 150 feet.
Roughly.
Both of these discs were hovering over his head at around 150 feet. One of the discs hung up in the air, but the other craft started its descent to the ground right in front of where Stefan was mining, like his where he was doing his mining in that creek or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other spacecraft remained in the sky, and it kind of zipped away into the sky. And just to, for your mind here.
Mm-hmm.
This is all going on at about noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, shit.
This is the brightness of the daylight to set the scene for you a little bit. This isn't one of those strange midnight encounters like we all like to get.
Yeah. You can see if you have a clear view of everything around you.
Yeah. And the credibility of the story for me.
I feel like, there's like no mistaking at that point.
Fucking goddamn UFO, dude.
Just two fucking flying cigars coming right at you.
Flying dicks, yeah. So the one landed right in front. There was a flat spot in his jeans because he was not very well hung because they weren't during that time. 1960s, they had a lot smaller dicks.
Bigger bushes.
Except for that one president. He's like, got a big old set of balls on me.
They may have had bigger dicks, but like I said, they have big bushes, so it makes it look smaller.
That's the, yeah. All right, I get it.
You know what I mean?
So the second craft, it zipped away. There was a flat rock section right in front of where Stefan was standing, and the craft landed on that flat rock right in front of him, and that's when he realized it was actually a disc and not a cigar-shaped
Okay, there you go.
Aircraft. for everything he was experiencing at the time, and this is 1967, so UFO lore is kind of coming along a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan did not believe what he was encountering was a UFO. He believed it to be a U.S. military experimental craft of some sort.
Naturally.
So 20 years post-atomic bomb.
Sure, sure.
We're in the middle, pretty much in the Cold War here. There's the belief as... But Stefan, he was had some travelings in his life. He just wasn't a mechanic his entire life. He had some time with the government at an early age. So even I want to kind of dispel whatever you would believe about him being just a crazy person right off the get-go. So he didn't think that it was UFO. He thought it was an experimental U.S. spacecraft because of everything at the time.
Right.
Stefan kept his distance and started to sketch a picture of what was in front of him because he didn't have a camera.
Oh, so nice.
He said, I'm going to sit down. He said, oh, I think I'm just going to sit down and draw this fucking thing real quick.
hey, buddy, can you hover that thing pretty still? I gotta draw a picture of you.
Hey, buddy, can you come out from behind that tree for just a couple seconds here?
He's just like etching it into the side of a fucking big birch tree.
No, he liked to go out there, and when he would get bored, when he was trying to take a break from digging for quartz and silver, he would start to sketch out there and
that's awesome.
Draw some of nature. So at the time, he said, this experimental U.S. craft is landed right in front of me. I'm going to draw this bitch real quick. Probably got some nice-ass Crayolas.
Hit Bob Ross in it.
Yeah. He kept his distance, and he started to draw the craft. He sat there and drew this thing for what he recalls to be about 30 minutes that he drew the spacecraft. And we have the drawings.
It was just hanging out.
We'll post those with the Facebook thing. After he sketched it, he decided that he would walk towards the craft. So this entire time, this metallic, reddish, glowing craft is sitting on the ground right in front of him, and he's just drawing pictures of it.
Cool.
Right. So after he sketched it, he decided he was going to walk up to the strange craft. When he got close enough to the craft, he realized it was giving off immense heat and it smelled of burnt sulfur.
It smells like shit.
Which, if you guys are keeping track at home,
it smells like your dying grandma's farts. Nice and hot and just reeks of intestines.
Honestly, when you hear this is some science for you. When you fart so hard that you create such friction that it burns your underwear. So you get
that's what it is.
You get the burnt cotton and the shit and the fart.
It's just the gases expel from your asshole so fast.
It burns the cotton in your underwear.
To like teach Boy Scouts to start fires.
Yeah. It's even worse than polyester. I got third degree burns in my asshole.
Still can't grow hair there.
I wish that were the case. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Holy shit.
Blessing in disguise.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck is this, dude?
I don't know, man. We're just having our best time right now. It's cool.
So this thing's giving off some fucking flames like a dragon, like a hot rod, bud, like a 67 Camaro with the drop top, 4x4, 3-speed. We got a 4 on the floor. Hemi.
Just fucking stinking up the whole joint.
They got a fucking Tesla in it.
Taking it to the shop to get a footprint gas pedal installed.
Yeah.
Fucking Joe Dirt.
One of my top,
love it.
Top five for
love
sure.
Love it.
So this craft's giving off all kinds of heat. Smells of burnt shit. Burnt cotton. He also could hear the motors kind of whirling in the background. So for everything that he's dealing with right now, he's probably in a bit of a panic, a bit of a daze. Maybe he ate some mushrooms up there in the Canadian mountains. He ate some moose shit.
It would have been really cool if during his drawing he drew little stink lines above it.
Oh.
He got closer and he had to go back and he was like, fuck the stinks. I had to go back and add stink lines.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, so stupid.
Not long after he arrived next to the craft, a door on the side of the ship popped open.
Oh, yes.
He could hear muffled voices coming from inside the craft. So obviously he thinks that there's something or someone that is inside the spacecraft, and he's still under the guise that it's a U.S. experimental craft.
Sure.
He kind of went into help mode at this point, and he started calling out to the guys inside the spacecraft, offering to help them. He's like,
hey, boys, I'm a mechanic for my day job, so if you need get the help getting this thing up off the ground, I'm sure we got enough maple syrup to fill your gas tank back up. So he starts asking the people inside, like, hey, you know, I can help you get this bird off the ground.
I'm sure that's what he said, too. Yeah, if you, I can, I think I might be able to get this bird off the ground for you, buddy.
He said he called them Yankee boys. He said, you Yankee boys need some help in there.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I know. They didn't answer, so then he knew he was multilingual. He knew Polish, Russian, and German. Yeah. And he yelled out to them in all those Polish. He said, and then the Russian, it was like, and then German, it's like, nine, 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 nine. So there's a little different inflection for all three of those.
I think that's a pretty good.
Thank you.
I think you did pretty well on those.
Yeah, thanks. Polish love their sausages. Russia, their leader there, I would never say anything bad about him.
Like your vodka.
Because he would kill us. You think. A lot of people listen to this show.
I like German's beer.
He's got to be one of them.
Hell, I would assume, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're listening, Vladimir Klitschko, what's his name?
Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Poutine.
Send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on the show.
Please.
No matter how much you coordinated with Trump to take down the U.S. of A. and give us the COVID.
They just passed it
on.
I
read that on Facebook.
Did you? Oh, okay. Yes. It has to be true then.
Yes. The voices never answered back. So either they didn't speak Polish, they didn't speak Russian, or they didn't speak German, or maybe we're not dealing with what we think we're dealing with here. So he moved even closer to the ship. The closer he got, the more he noted how much metal was used to make this ship.
Okay.
It was very smooth. He observed that there was no seams in the metal, no rivets.
Ah.
Which makes it...
fishy. Very fishy.
Yeah, some engineered technology right there, buddy.
Yeah.
Because if the U.S. is building a spacecraft, they're going to be using some rivets and some fucking seams.
Hell yeah.
That's just the way science works.
Yeah, okay? You're going to see some weld marks.
Yeah. And he had a... he had some welding goggles with him.
Of course he did.
Oh, fucking why not?
He's Canadian. That's what they do.
So he puts on the welding goggles and he starts walking towards spacecraft. Hey, you look a Canadian. Can I borrow your welding goggles for just a minute? Is that a thing there?
I don't know.
Care out fucking welding goggles.
Well, by George, let me just break out the old welding goggles.
If I'm going to mine for rocks in the Canadian wilderness for a few days.
Do they use blow torches to mine?
I don't know, dude. I think these hammers and shit, chisels, you know, shit you mine.
Well, yes, this is in the 60s, so especially, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. When was a blowtorch invented?
Recently, dude. Within the like past 5 to 10 years. Yeah. Tebow Underwear is a leader in community-led production of men's bodywear, and they're leading the movement to have this as the future of all clothing production. Unlike all these other places where you get nasty, uncomfortable underwear, Tebow Underwear has a community of over 400,000 men that have developed and tested their incredible underwear. And I'm so serious, guys. Many a times before, I've bought cotton underwear online. Just whatever's the cheapest. I go to Walmart. And you don't realize how much you're missing by wearing a comfortable pair of underwear that's made to fit the way that underwear are made to fit. You know, girls, they got all those sexy panties. They got thongs. They got the boy shorts. They got all that stuff. But men, our underwear is kind of an afterthought, but not the case with Tebow Underwear. I've got them. I love them. I've told you guys about them. They're incredible. They're comfortable. They're soft. They keep you feel cleaner after you wear them. They have the little uplifting feature that helps put your guys out there. They're the perfect pair of underwear. And imagine if you found the ultimate testimonial from 400,000 men that say this is the way these things are supposed to fit. They're perfect for you. My wife, she's worn them. She says they're really comfortable. I don't know, girls. Maybe that's what you're into. But if you guys would like to feel the cool, calming touch of the bamboo fabric featured in the Tebow underwear, we've got a very special deal for you. You're going to get 20% off. That's a big coupon. That's like a fifth of the price knocked right off at tbobodywear.com. That's Tebow Bodywear, tbobodywear.com. You got to use the promo code BROHIO, BROHIO. That's tbobodywear.com. Guys, I can't recommend these underwear enough. Super comfortable. They're perfect for summertime. Go check them out.
I can think of 15 or 20 things I would take with me before I would take a fucking pair of welding goggles.
Right.
A fucking pocket pussy. Pocket rocket. That would be number one. Some cooking vegetable oil like lard.
Like 15 changes of underwear.
You can cook with it and you can jack off with it. Yeah, man. Some Crisco. He's like, oh, I got my trusty welding goggles. So he puts these pieces of shits on and he walks towards the spacecraft. He observed the open door on the side of the craft and the door in the welding goggles. All right, why don't I have that twice?
It's okay.
Inside the craft, he saw light beams shooting all over the spacecraft like a little alien rave inside.
Nice.
And panels of various flashing lights, but did not observe any living beings inside the craft. And that's all right. I'm glad we can talk about this for a second.
Okay.
Who knows? All right. The U.S. government's coming around on the UFO stuff.
Sure.
They're finally
sure.
kind of committing to a little bit of disclosure here and there.
Yeah, they are.
They're finally saying, look, we don't know what is in the sky. We can't explain it. It's something. Have we reached disclosure? No, but we're making a move towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So with all the crafts, all the UAPs, as they call them, that we have flying across our skies, got to think about how advanced their race is, their singular colony that they have, whatever, wherever they're at, that all these spacecrafts might not be manned at all. These might be like remote drones. Type flyings, mm-hmm. and there's no... It totally takes away the train of thought that there's little green men inside all these spacecrafts. So maybe everyone's like, if they're out there, why haven't they messed with us yet? Maybe they don't have to because they can just send these crafts. And the few that they have sent over, I don't know. So some people have seen like aliens on the ground, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Roswell, they did, you know, that was the big thing. Is he, what was his name, Brazel?
Yeah, the bodies.
Yeah, he said he saw bodies, but I mean, did he? You know, yeah. What I mean, it's one of those things. It's only a handful of accounts where they actually saw bodies. Right. So, it's,
to each their own.
If you can fly across the galaxy, I'm sure you can. You have the technology to not have to physically fly that across the galaxy.
Yeah. So we may not be being invaded yet, or that could be. But think about. When all these ships do come, if they are loaded up with these little fuckers, it's going to be a sad, scary day.
What do you think really would happen if we knew
that
we were getting invaded?
And that's where I segue next, is if they do come.
And then if especially if we didn't know their temperament. So if we didn't know they were nice or just pissed off and wanted to take over our planet.
That's what I'm saying.
For some bizarre reason.
We, it's so crazy because when we think about another being, we imagine that they're just like us.
Mm-hmm.
But they think, they process emotions, they have a heartbeat, they have a brain. We think of another being, we think of intelligent life.
Sure.
As being something with a brain. What if whatever it is, it's coming here, whatever it's out there that wants to come here, they're not like us at all. There's no brain. There's no, like, I guess, ecosystem. There's nothing in their anatomy that's like us. They're just essentially... Who knows? They're not just clouds or whatever, you know, just almost like a hologram or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I've said for the longest, like, I think that first, if there's anything out there, they've probably been here longer than we have.
Yeah.
And second off, I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, humans are a very new.
You think we're new?
Primitive thing.
That's interesting.
I mean, if there are aliens out there and they have the technology to travel across multiverses and galaxies and shit, there's no way they haven't been here for longer than us.
Yeah, for sure. But then we don't know, man.
So I mean, they could have evolved so many different times that, just like you're saying, yeah, they may not even have physical forms that they need to send out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So strange.
So fucking weird.
They don't feel anger. They don't feel hatred. They don't feel hostility to where they would even want to do the things we think they want to do.
Yeah.
So when they come here and we're like, oh, fuck, they're mad at us. But they don't even have emotions to process the feeling of being mad or the feeling of
hostility. Maybe they're just done with shit.
Yeah. They're done with our shit.
Yeah, done with our shit. Huge dicks, though. Someone on YouTube just said, huge wangs, naturally.
So finally, old Stefan, he decides he's going to reach up and touch the craft, which is really dumb.
Yeah, don't do that.
Probably definitely shit his bloomers at this point.
fill those fuckers full.
That's what they wore back then.
Bloomers. Yeah.
So he reaches up and touches the craft. He puts on a pair of gloves. And just by touching the craft, it melted the fingertips on his gloves.
Ooh.
There's a lot of pictures on the internet. So I'll try and put all these pictures up for you guys to take a look at. There's lots of pictures of the glove. And that was a huge piece of evidence taken in this case, man, are the gloves. So they hung around for a while, and there's a lot of pictures of them on the internet.
Sweet.
But right in front of him, Stefan alleged the craft started to ascend back into the air, rotate counterclockwise, and he at that time he saw that there was a panel on the side containing a grid of holes, so much like a, you know, just a Connect Four board. That's what it looks
okay.
like. It's like a grate with holes.
So just like an exhaust.
Yeah, he notices that there's a panel on the side of the spacecraft that has that pattern. And when this ship blasted off the takeaway, it shot a blast of hot air or gas out of the grid holes, much like you said, an exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
And the gas, or the flames from the exhaust, it pushed Stefan to the ground, and it set his shirt and his hat on fire.
Damn.
To the point where he had to roll around to put the fire out that from where his clothes had caught fire.
Poor guy.
So he rips the clothes off. It puts the fire out. As the craft is sailing away into the sunlight, the sunlight of the bright, shiny 12 p.m. day.
Hmm.
He had to move a little bit out of the way because his compass had been knocked from his person, and he had to go grab the compass. When he picked up the compass, the arm, the hand on the compass was spinning feverishly in circles, and it wouldn't stop. So he couldn't get the arm inside the compass, the arrow, to stop spinning.
Oh, that sucks.
And he also said there was a strong smell of burnt sulfur and then a strong smell of burnt like electrical fire, like components been caught fire.
Okay.
When they shot away. That was what he told the investigators.
They just let out a big galaxy fart and just fucking drove off, crop dusted his ass. They just come here to shit and leave.
We're just their toilet.
Exactly.
Stefan instantly became very disoriented and nauseous after the encounter. So he got pretty sick there, started to get a little upset tummy, get a little dizzy. He was fucked up after this. As he fumbled and stumbled through the forest, he started puking his guts out
He
was trying to find his way back to camp. So at this point, he's disoriented, he's confused, he's nauseous, and now he's just puking all over the goddamn place.
Oh, poor guy.
And somehow, by the grace of the Canadian gods, he made it back to the motel where he was staying in Falcon Lake. If I ever went... Oh, dude, I want to go there.
Let's go.
I want to go to Falcon. I just want to see Canada. It's gorgeous.
Let's go to Alaska, too.
We can drive to Alaska. Did you know that?
I do now.
Man, I would never let my kids do that shit. Never, ever.
Yeah, it's a trick, man.
I don't like it. I wonder if you've ever driven from Alaska to the U.S., send us an email, ohiopodcast@gmail.com.
I'd like to know what that scenic route looks like.
Yeah. If you're ready, come and get it. Isn't that a song?
It is.
I know it was. Okay, sorry, I stopped there and gathered my thoughts.
You're cool, man.
So he finally finds his way up to the road, and he hitched a bus back to Winnipeg. But I'm glad I remembered this. He flagged a cop down. He made it up to the main road.
Okay.
The cop sees where he's coming out of the woods. So he's in the middle of nowhere. So for someone just to be on the road, okay. Coincidence, but for a cop to be driving by in the middle of nowhere at the exact moment he stumbles out to the road, that makes me a little, you know,
convenient. Yeah, it's convenient.
Maybe this was an experimental craft of the government that belonged to the government. I don't know, but the weird part was the cop turns around and he explains everything that just happened. At this point, he has been set ablaze, set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's a craft that came down. It blew me off my legs or blew me off my feet. It flew away. I'm set burnt.
On fire.
I've got, you know, chest, face, whatever. I need help. This cop told him, he's like, I've got some other stuff that I got to take care of. And then just left him there on the side of the road. and flipped around and drove back into town.
That's weird.
It's a little suspicious.
It is weird.
So then he gets to a phone in town and he calls the news station, thinking that the news station would help him because he said he needed to get back to where he was going, wherever he lived. It was a ways away from there, but that was a strange part of the story as well. He called the news station. The news station says, "We'll help you, but you have to tell us about your story." And he said, "I don't want to tell you about the story. I need someone to help me." Really just weird for me. This doesn't, 2 and 2 doesn't make 4 right there.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of strange.
Yeah. He calls his wife and his son, and they tell him, he tells them that he's bad off. Something happened, but he's okay. Come pick me up at the bus station whenever. So he takes the bus back to Winnipeg. His son, Stefan, picked him up and took him to the hospital shortly after returning home from the bus station. He had burn marks all over his lower chest and upper stomach from where the exhaust blew back and burned him.
Yeah.
And let's see. I can show this to you. Falcon Lake UFO. The grate, the marks that it put on his body.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Just like the grates on the side of the exhaust he was talking about.
Yeah, the Connect 4, like you said.
So he's laying on his back. He's got probably 20 or 30 completely symmetrical round red splotches and burns on his stomach. This is from the exhaust blowing the gases or the fire on him, but these circular grid-like burns, they were all over his body. The burn marks turned into raised marks all over his body eventually.
Oh, damn.
The doctors raised enough concern and, I guess, went the avenues that they needed to go to inspire the Canadian government and the Canadian military to show up and have an investigation into what actually happened.
Okay.
So he's suffering from constant diarrhea, headaches, blackouts, weight loss. Sounds like a Sunday morning hangover to me. He was just hung the fuck over.
Yeah, it's just having a good weekend right there.
Yeah, but he made it back to his house eventually, and their home had become inundated with reporters.
Yeah, naturally.
Gawkers, people sleeping in their yard waiting for them to come outside to talk to him.
Weird.
So he never talked to anybody. That was the thing. But eventually, to make these people leave him alone, they made some pamphlets that they handed out on the front lawn. Like, this is what happened. They put the glove, the hat, and the shirt outside so people could see it. They didn't charge any money. They never made a dime off of it. They didn't come outside and, you know, I guess it was their way of getting the people off their lawn, getting them out of there, give them the pamphlet, give them the story, and let them go on their way. So I think that in most of these instances, it seems like someone's trying to profit for monetary reasons.
Some monetary gain.
You don't get that here. They were the son, Stan, I believe is his name. He was getting made fun of at school. Kids were fucking him in the bathroom. He said once he went to the urinal and he peed with his pants and his underwear around his ankles.
Oh yeah.
And someone raped him in the bathroom.
That's how they do it in Canada.
It was a moose.
No. Yeah.
No, they're really sweet to each other. They don't rape each other there. It's just the animals that rape them.
Okay. Fucking mooses are so big.
They are, man.
Fuck, dude, things are like dinosaurs.
I don't ever want to see one of those in real life.
Imagine how angry a moose dick looks.
I think it'd be so much cooler if Santa had mooses pulling his sleigh than reindeers.
That's impressive. Yeah, puny little reindeer. Okay.
Oh, fuck, we got a moose.
It ain't lifting his fat ass up off the ground. A moose now. Yeah. You only need like 2 of them to get him
Rudolph
up.
Rudolph the red-nosed moose. It doesn't work for me.
They have to be... If it's Rudolph the reindeer, it has to be like Miguel the moose.
Rudolph the red-nosed... Yeah, it doesn't work, man. Can't do it. Later on in life, Stan Mitchell, like his son, said that it turned their life completely upside down. Throughout the next 2 years, his father was examined by more than 12 physicians in the United States, and Canadian psych investigations were made by members of the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Oh, jeez.
They ride mooses around. The RCAF, and they had numerous government officials and numerous civilians that kind of were taking part in these medical examinations on Michalik. The number of government departments and officials who were involved in the case is staggering, and I got this from the NCIA website, and the ground party which traveled with Michalik to the site were, so when they actually took him from the hospital and took him to the site where everything happened, everyone that went with for the investigation was the Royal Canadian Air Force Training Command Headquarters, Canadian Forces Base in Winnipeg, the RCMD Criminal Investigations Division, the Federal Department of Health and Welfare, and the Manitoba Provincial Department of Health and Welfare.
God. There's a shit ton of government agencies.
Nuclear Research Establishment. There's millions of them.
There's a lot there. There's like 15 different ones.
Mayo Clinic. Yeah.
They make good mayonnaise.
And like I said, it may be one of the most intensely investigated cases, UFO cases, ever. And there are some slightly different elements that we're going to talk about here that, I guess, the most specific areas of interest for pieces of evidence. So okay. They have the burn marks and other psychological... he was just completely... His brain was mush after this. He just was terrified. He couldn't really live a normal life. So that kind of... He wasn't like that before. That was an instant, sudden change. That was a big piece of evidence for them. The ground traces found at the site, there was some radioactivity that I'm going to get into later, then all the exams at the Mayo Clinic. The examiner at the Mayo Clinic said, "I found no evidence of dream or hallucinations. The MMPI was not extraordinary. I can find no overt evidence of significant mental or emotional illness." That's from the Mayo Clinic. And he had never reported observing anything like this before. So he never spoke of UFOs or... And at this point, he doesn't even think that it was a UFO. He's still operating under the premise that it was a U.S. government experimental craft. And he never, into his dying day, never would he say or did he say that he thought it was a UFO, that he thought it, he was certain... He was sure it was a U.S. government experimental craft.
Okay.
Which is crazy to add to the story. In the RCAF, the Canadian Air Force, report on the incident, much was made of Michalik's association with a man named Gerald Hart. Hart was known to the Royal Mounted Police as a subversive individual. So when Michalik told them that Hart had assisted him in the quest for the site of the encounter, officials became suspicious because Hart had refused to pay income tax.
Hey.
In fact, wrote a popular book on how to avoid paying the government anything.
My guy.
So he, for some reason, he was part of the someone that, Stefan needed there for whatever, and they just weren't buying it because of...
The guy sounds like a hero to me.
He does. And like I said, he never made any money off this incident. He never profited any monetary gain at all. But there was one investigator. So anything that's discredited about this UFO story or investigation is done so because of the foundation that Squadron Leader Paul Biskey from the Royal Canadian Air Force, the groundwork that he laid, because he took so much, he was like the lead investigator. And there's so much stuff that he wouldn't put out there and everything he tried to immediately discredit. And some of his stuff was just so far out of left field and outlandish that it wasn't even fair to Stefan. He thought Stefan was a liar was an understatement. He accused him of being drunk. Why is my shit all fucking... that's a really bad copy and paste job right there.
There's like no spaces for that entire line.
So, God. Paul Biskey. The lead investigator. He said he had witnesses, which Stefan Michalik never had witnesses. Okay. But after his investigation, he's like, I have witnesses. I have a bartender. I have someone in town. But then whenever it was time for these people to come out and talk, they were never available. He couldn't produce the people. But he's like, yeah, I've got a very good source that's advised me that he was drunk that night, that I served him 4 to 5 beers at the bar. But
I'd want to fucking get drunk after something like that, though.
Yeah, well, before they said that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So maybe Maybe he was drunk during the actual incident.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Biskey was convinced that Michalik had drunk heavily the night before his alleged experience, causing him to have imagined the entire UFO encounter 10 to 12 hours later. However, Biskey described an alternative theory to the author. Michalik had been drinking and burned himself on a hot barbecue grill.
As one does.
Beans don't burn on the grill. And this was support for the new theory came from another of Biskey's unnamed but reliable sources in the case of a woman who was awakened by Michalik pounding on her cabin door at 2 a.m. Unfortunately, Biskey said that the woman was at Falcon Lake on a tryst. She was there for a tryst. I think that's a little siesta. That's a little I'm getting fucked in the middle of the woods.
A little getaway.
And she could not come forward publicly. Interesting, the explanation was never mentioned in any official report, and he has no other evidence to support it. This is this goddamn...
Okay.
Despite all of his attempts to find flaws in Michalik's story, Biskey was forced to concede that there are certain facts, such as Mr. Michalik's illness and burns, and the very evident circle remaining at the site, which are unexplainable, because at the actual site where he'd taken them, there was a large disc burn mark on this flat rock where it had stirred up all the vegetation.
And you did say there was like readings of radioactivity as well. So,
yeah.
So something happened.
Something happened. And all the doctor's exams, all of the information, all the entire investigation had aligned for him at this point that he was telling the truth, that he wasn't lying about any of this stuff. But this lead investigator, who was a UFO skeptic from the very beginning.
Sure.
Would not buy anything, and he was immediately discrediting. So who knows if even the full his full story even got out there. There might have been things that he told him, and he just kind of chopped it up and threw it away, you know?
Yeah, right.
This is from the Journal of UFO Studies.
Hell yeah.
Nausea and vomiting followed by diarrhea and loss of weight is a classical picture of severe whole body exposure to radiation with X-ray or gamma rays. I would guess that Mr. Michalik received on the order of 100 to 200 Roentgens. Roads.
Roentgens.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you even say
Roentgens?
That? That's a stupid ass word.
It's a very fortunate that this dose of radiation only lasts a short time, or he would certainly have received a lethal dose.
Oh, man.
So, what could have caused that type of radioactivity out there in the middle of the woods, yeah. Middle of Canadian woods?
Silver.
I don't know. On June 30th, 1967, Michalik traveled to Falcon Lake with Gerald Hart. Hart had offered to help in the research and told Michalik, and this is the fucking creepy income tax guy, he told Michalik he visited the area frequently on his own. Michalik took him up on the offer. So this is another part in the story where kind of gets a little, I don't know. So he lets this unsavory dude, well, just someone that doesn't want to pay taxes.
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, that's a, yeah.
He just taxation. Shows up. He's like, hey, I can take you where you had your accident.
Taxation is theft.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
God damn it. I think all overtime wages should be tax-free. I think we should have to pay taxes because kind of fucking third world. Well,
I think the fact that we have to pay taxes on a weekly basis and then at the end of the year pay taxes again on the overall sum that it's already been taxed is a little excessive.
Well, if you just got to set up your exemptions right. You don't have to worry about that at the end of the year.
Well, they get the double dip. I mean, that's kind of shitty, but...
It is.
But then...
What can you do?
Jeff Bezos gets to make a fucking penis rocket ship and not pay taxes.
CEO entrepreneur born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos.
And don't even get me started on fucking churches.
I'll take my money when I'm in need. He's a gold digger. When in need. I think
that sounds good. I appreciated that.
Come and get it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like one of my favorite songs, man. I love that song.
It's a banger, dude.
Holler, we want prenup.
And I don't think he got one with Kim either.
No. I saw something on TikTok today where it said, y'all, they broke up now, but this last episode, something, something. And I didn't know Kanye made like a hologram of Kim Kardashian's dad and gave it to her for her birthday.
What the fuck kind of shit is that? he's got fucking hologram money, dog. It took them like fucking 30 years to get fucking like, Tupac hey, on a hologram.
I know you a bitch, but I brought your daddy back.
Dude, can you imagine that shit?
I would fucking scream, dude. I would run. My dad's like, I got your grandpa for your birthday. He's been gone since 86. I brought his ass back.
It's the hologram. His bitch slaps you. He's like, oh, shit, I don't
You're
want
the
this.
Fucking fruitcake. They've been. I got you a hologram. Your dead daddy.
Man. That is some Kanye shit right there, dude.
I think it happened.
Dude, I hope it did. That's great. That's a good story.
I could have just been watching it wrong. I don't know.
Man, I hope that's true.
Yeah, Kanye grills Kim Kardashian.
Gifts Kim Kardashian a hologram of her late father. It's on CNN. It has to be true.
No, it actually shows the footage of the hologram and stuff.
That's so fucking cool.
He's just like fucking dancing in the living room. I know you a bitch. But I brought your dead daddy back. I hope that's what he said. We gotta watch that.
Yeah, we do.
So this creepy ass dude takes him back to the site where the alleged occurrence happened.
God, I want some hologram money, dude. That's crazy.
Oh, they found a ring of debris thought to have been made when the object lifted. In addition, they found bits of Michalik's shirt and his tape measure, which he had left behind. When they returned to Winnipeg, they informed the RCAF of their findings. On July 2nd, the Mounted Police, the Air Force, and the CAPRO investigators accompanied Michalik to the site, gathering samples and taking photographs. There was all kinds of analysis done of everything that was recovered from the site. Though he... Okay, I got to go back here. A radiation value of 3 microcuries in the soil sample. The radiation is from a radium source and is possible serious health. Okay. I can't remember where it's at in my research, but it's important to note right here that when they went back to take the samples from the site, there was cracks on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And inside of the cracks... all over the actual landing site was molten metal.
Okay.
So like someone had melted aluminum, melted some kind of metal and it went down in the cracks of the earth.
Okay.
And they chipped all that metal up. Why is there anything like that in the middle of the Canadian wilderness?
So there was obviously something there that was, it was putting out extreme heat.
Yeah. Extreme heat, a different kind of heat for it to leave molten.
To melt. Yeah,
metal behind, but then that said, what kind of fuel source was it using?
Sure.
They run on fucking titanium, you know, what kind of crazy stuff they put in their gas tanks for those things?
Plutonium.
What's those ring? Tungsten.
Tungsten.
Those bitches will break. Don't let them lie to you. So they find the metal down in the cracks, and that's kind of, and then they tested the metal. There was a lot of radioactivity associated with the metal, which makes it all that much more... They knew they had something big on their hands.
Yeah, it's definitely plausible at this point.
Yeah. If you asked him what he saw, we're talking about Stefan, he could describe it in intimate detail, but he would never say, oh, it was definitely extraterrestrials, because there was no evidence to prove that, is what his son says. In terms of the investigation, it far surpasses the Roswell incident, like we said before. And one of the most damning pieces of evidence was the molten metal... and the radioactivity that was associated with the metal. To this day, one of the few remaining pieces around still emits radioactivity.
Damn.
Yep. So
I feel like that has to be
60 years later. I don't know how long it can last, but
yeah.
And all of there was a lot of evidence taken, but over the years, all the transitions, the different places, they've lost most of it. There still remains one piece of the metal that's in possession of Stefan Michalik's son.
Still radioactive to this day. That's crazy.
The Canadian government seemed to refuse access to the information about the Falcon Lake incident. When a question was raised in the House Committee in the House of Commons in 1967 on June 29th, it was reported that a member of Parliament, Edward Schreyer, asked about UFO investigations. Specifically with regard to the Mitchell case, the Speaker of the House immediately cut off the subject without government reply. On November 6, 1967, Defense Minister Leo Cadeau stated, "It is not the intention of the Department of National Defense to make public the report of the alleged sighting." This was in response to the request by several cabinet members to obtain information on the incident. On November 11, 1967, Schreyer formally placed a written question on the Commons order paper seeking information on UFOs. However, the question did not solicit a useful response. That tells you all those dudes that were there investigating, the Air Force, the Royal Mounted Police. Yeah,
all those different government agencies.
They weren't getting any information from those guys about that stuff, and the government was acting like it never even happened. When Michalik's experience was covered by the local media, many people reported their own UFO sightings from around the same time and area. On May 19, 1967, residents of Lockport near Winnipeg reported a UFO with a glowing ring of heat moving at indescribable speed. On May 21st, just a couple days later, three people watched a round, reddish, glowing object at treetop level from their cottage at Eleanor Lake in the White Shell. They reported it to the RCMP on May 23rd after Mitchell's story was published. Two men watched a large cigar-shaped object travel across the horizon at a tremendous speed on May 25th. That same night, a large orange egg-shaped object was near
Saurice, and
two other witnesses saw, quote, two very brilliant stars in close proximity to one another over Winnipeg. And these are all from the UFO ROM files. In 1978, a man contacted the UFO ROM with information about his encounter at West Hawk Lake one night in May of 1967. Although he could not recall the exact date, he claimed it had occurred the same time as Mitchell. He and a companion were walking from...
Anyone could say that.
They were lovers. They were walking from West Hawk Lake to the Caddy Lake
along a highway.
Well, that's what I would just want to take a romantic walk with you along
that's
the highway.
That's cute, yeah.
Ed walked 3 of the 4 miles to their destination when his companion stopped to tie his shoelace. The man, this was a good, these guys were butt-fucking the shit out of each other when they saw this thing.
He had his shoes on and socks on, so he's good.
Sounds like the hottest gay porn. He's like, oh, I know we're just walking down the highway here in the middle of the Canadian forest. I gotta bend down and tie my shoe real quick in case you wanna fuck the shit out of my butthole. In case you wanna fuck my pussy up. No, I know how those guys like to be talked to.
Yeah.
I know the dirty talk. Got called a pussy.
Got to.
So he bent down to tie his motherfucking shoes. He and his companion were walking from West Hawk Lake to Caddy Lake along a highway. They had walked 3 of the 4 miles. Stop tie shoelace.
Yeah.
The man looking straight ahead was startled to see a large disc-shaped object glide silently into view above the trees and move across the highway. It flew over the trees on the other side of the highway and was lost to sight. Needless to say, the man's companion, the guy making sweet love to his rear end, did not look up in time because he was getting that buzzy to see the object. The man's detailed sketch of the object had semblance to the Mitchell drawing with some discrepancies.
And I wonder why he didn't look up. He was deep in that asshole.
And to the day he died, Stephen Mitchell claimed that he never encountered a unidentified flying object. He was adamant that he encountered a U.S. government experimental craft.
Yeah.
He eventually passed away in 1999 of, assuming old age. He was the ripe old age of, my paperwork says, 1,983 years old, but he was actually 83 years old.
And he really passed away. It says 1,983.
Like, goddamn, what's wrong with that motherfucker?
Let me see some fucking aliens. He's 1,900 years old.
I'ma just keep hanging around. Y'all don't mind. I'ma get these bitches.
Oh, shit, that's so funny.
Pardon me.
The ripe old age of 1,983.
Oh, I hear that.
Hear my balls.
Could you imagine how crabby you would be at 1900 years old? You'd fucking just wish for death every day. I don't care like what sort of witchcraft was used to get you that old. Yeah, there's that one episode of SpongeBob where they're going door to door to sell chocolate. And the one woman is literally just a fucking brain and a brain stem. That's literally all you would be.
Oh man.
Chocolate! What?
1,983.
Good lord.
God, your farts would stink.
Holy shit.
Blasting fucking cosmic dust out of your butt. Rock soot.
Man.
All right. Well, that is the Falcon Lake UFO incident. The government, they remain mum over the subject for many, many years until recently when they actually made... put the UFO incident on one of their coins.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think that there's something there. This is their equivalent of Roswell. A lot of evidence. He dealt with chronic problems in his entire life after that. Never had any problems before.
You would think.
But,
man,
that's not what happened. He got fucked up. Kanye West gives Kim Kardashian a West hologram of her late. Okay. Have you ever heard the song Don't Touch My Honey Bun? Don't Drop My Honey Bun?
No.
Don't Drop My...
For Don't Drop That Dun-da-dun.
Nope. This is different.
Is it a parody of that, I'm assuming?
No, it's... I don't know.
It has to be.
I heard it at work this week.
Because it's Don't Drop That Dun-da-dun. Don't Drop That... Something like that.
Yeah. Well, can we listen to it right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Drop my honey bun.
Yeah, it is.
Don't drop my honey bun. Don't drop my honey bun. Don't drop my honey bun.
Amen.
Don't drop my honey bun. Don't drop my honey bun. Don't drop my honey bun. Hey,
hey,
don't
drop my
honey bun. Don't drop my honey bun. Don't drop my honey bun. So I went to the store to get a honey bun. That's then a whole bunch of people said, give me some. I said, no, don't get your own. You can't take a bite of this honey bun, dog. Then they said, please. Then I said, stop. Smell my knee. Smoke crack rocks. They said I was mean. I said, no, I'm not. Y'all just mad because your honey bun dropped. A girl with big teeth tried to bite me in the mouth. A whole bunch of break into my house. The honey bun bandits from the deep south.
Yeah, sorry. He starts using jump, but they ain't Chris. He starts talk. Using fairly derogatory language. You'll listen to this after the... But he says something about honey, wheat bread, and something about his balls. And it's really good. Oh, he said, the back of my nuts smell like wheat bread. Let's see if we can get it here.
You heard what I said?
Nope,
y'all
a little bit.
Man, the back of my nuts smell like wheat bread. You heard?
Can he smell the back of his nuts? I've been trying for years. What are the secrets?
He says, I got a fresh honey bun with some Mickey D sauce.
Right. Oh, shit. Well, which Mickey D sauce?
Delano though? Edwards. If you want to know what rock bottom feels like,
smell the back of your nuts.
The back of my nuts smell like wheat bread. Take a honey bun, put it in the microwave, give it about 12-second ride.
Yeah.
When you get it out, take a big old scoop of country crock, whatever butter you like. Spread it across the honey bun.
Yeah.
That's what rock bottom feels like. It's good.
It's great.
It tastes really fucking good. I think I'll go have some after I'm done here.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, dude, we gotta do that Oreo cheesecake thing.
Yes, we do. Please,
some other time. All right.
All right. Whatever.
Well, thank you guys so much. We'll catch you with another episode this week.
Yeah, because it's gonna be a good time.
The right thing to do. It'll be the battlefield of love.
That's the best, man. Keep sending these fucking stories in. If we can do a second episode each week of just battlefield of love,
I'm talking about. I'll dude, talk that's to me.
That's some good shit.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you get we can talk about shit you guys send in, and then it's not. We're literally just flying off the cuff.
I feel it.
I like it, man. We're just hanging out, talking, shooting the shit.
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do it. Send them some more stories, guys, so we have more for next week, too.
BroIOPodcast@gmail.com. Love you.
Love you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.